ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
In Jesus' precious name. So we start a new series. It's still faith in God's word. But this month, as we start, is like a whole quarter. But I want to just create that expectation in our heart. The third person of the Trinity. We talk about the Holy Spirit. And then the line that we want to talk about it is for you to know how real it is to us. We call it the Holy Spirit and the Believer series. Holy Spirit and the Believer. It's not just an abstract thing, but it has a work in us, a work with us, a work through us. And we need to understand it. The Holy Spirit upon, the Holy Spirit within, and the Holy Spirit outpouring upon us. So we need to put it into a proper perspective. To a lot of people, the Holy Spirit is what happens when they come to church. No, but the Holy Spirit is right there to be involved in every day of our lives. So I do a bit of introduction tonight because, you see, when we become aware and then we leverage on the power of His manifest presence in our lives, lives become more easier for us. If there is anything I'm going to talk about tonight, it's the power of decision. That's not the title of my message, but that's what man is created to do on this path of eternity. We make decisions. We make decisions about our families. We make decisions about where to live. We make decisions about the business that we are involved in. We make decisions about our career path. And see, those decisions, please listen to me carefully. It's not a decision between good and evil. It's not a decision between what is right and what is wrong. It's a decision between two goods. So you are confronted with two things that are very good, that are very important, that will make progress to your life. How do you leverage on the Holy Spirit to give you the way that you will go? Every human being, believers, non-believers, they know the options, good and evil. People just choose what it is. But for the believer, it's not something that should be in doubt. You cling. He said, run away from evil. Cling to what is good. So it's not a problem for the believer to choose between good and evil. But it's always a problem to choose between good and good. Good and good. So life is about decisions. Running a business is about decision. Working with the Lord is about decision. So these are the things that, as much as possible, God will help us. We will look at it. We will just look at it. How the Holy Spirit must become real to you. How in your daily experiences, it's no more the drawing of a dove that you see on the wall. It's someone who becomes your helper. It's someone who becomes your strengthener. It's someone who becomes your ever-abiding companion. And when we become increasingly aware, we can see His effect upon our lives. Can I have an amen? So 2 Peter chapter 3, as we do a little bit of introduction here tonight, verses 17 and 18. And then you help me, please. I read it first in the New King James Version. Then we read it in the Message. And then we read it in the Easy Translation. If you don't have the Easy, just let me know. I read it on my phone, Easy Version. If you have the U Version, Easy is just one of those new versions that also render, just like Message, renders understanding of the Bible. It's called easy. There is easy to read, but there is also easy version. If you have YouVersion on your phone, you can quickly check it so that we can read together the same verses of the scripture. He said, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, said, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. That's decision between good and good. He said, be led away from the error of the wicked. What is the mind of God for the believer? Verse 18. But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, to him be the glory both now and forever. Can we read Message translation? Someone should please let me get some easy translation. Just let me find it out. He said, but you friends, you are well warned. Be on guard, lest you lose your footing and get swept off your feet by these lawless and loose talking teachers. Verse 18 says, grow in grace and understanding of our Master and Savior Jesus Christ. Glory to the Master now and forever. Yes. Can you somebody read easy translation for us? I will repeat after you. My friends, you already know about these false teachers. So be very careful that you do not believe those bad people. Do not let them lead you away from God. You know what is true. So do not leave the same place. Instead, you must grow as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, who saves us. Continue to know him better and better. He will be kind to you and he will help you more and more. That he is great now and he will be great forever. That suggests to me the impact of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. So I titled this, Our Heartfelt Need. Our Heartfelt Need. A lot of the times, we cannot make mistake that many people are making in our world. Sometimes when you ask people what their heartfelt needs are, some people will say money. Some people will say a good job. Some people will say a good opportunity. You can get many answers of what people regard as their heartfelt need. But for the believer in Christ, your heartfelt need is to become aware of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit as you take your journey of life. If you are aware of that power and the presence, money will come to you. If you are aware of that power and presence, you will walk victoriously in this life. If you are aware of that power and that presence, you will do greater exploit with your career path, with your business enterprise. So there is that consciousness. And the first thing I want to say tonight is that the Word of God works all the time. It works. The person of the Holy Spirit is the one who brought us into a loving relationship with our Father, the Father of all spirits. What that simply suggests to us is that if we will walk triumphantly, victoriously in this life, we cannot afford to pull the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit as backbones of our life. We can't. I mentioned earlier on, life is all about decision. Decision of who to marry, decision of which school to go, decision of which course to read, decision of which job to take, decision of where you want to live. Life is about decision. And you need that recognition of the awareness and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what makes the difference between us and the non-believers. Non-believers do a game of chance, but the believer must do
a game, if you are calling it a game of precision. We don't have time forever. So each of our decisions as we walk through life must be one that is divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. I mean, a lot of people don't understand it. But hey, if you are aware of it, your error of margin, the error of margin as you walk through life is greatly negligible, if not minus zero. So, the Holy Spirit. So, this new bad experience that we have, it's not just to belong to a church. It's not just to belong to where you are filling a form, they ask you your religion, you say Christianity. It's much more than that. We are supposed to live as gods on the earth. We are supposed to live as God. In Psalm 82, David saw the way we're supposed to live. So in Psalm 82, he said, "But I have said to you that you are gods." We are supposed to be in charge. We are not supposed to be under sickness, under sin, under whatever life troubles have. We are supposed to live above it. And the only way to live above it, it's our recognition that we have the greater one living on the inside of us. The one who makes the heaven and earth. God spoke the word. He spoke Jesus into place. So there was a framing. But the actual executor is the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit is the one that is living on the inside of us today. And we need to come into that awareness. If you understand it, you won't be afraid of witches and wizards one day for the rest of your Christian experience. If you understand it, you will know that when challenges of life come, there is light at the end of every tunnel. If you understand it, you know that there is nothing that is permanent. Challenges of life will come. The way they come is the way that they go. Because you are aware of the power and the presence of the third head of the Godhead in your life. So, what is God's purpose for man? Let me just start from there so that you can know. A lot of people will say, I don't know if you have noticed it. There are people in our world who don't know their father, who don't know their mother, and they still make good of their lives. There are people in our world who even know their father and mother, but they were not present for them. There are people in our world who have father and mother who are present, but they didn't turn out well. You know, the difference is what guides each one. So this is the way God created man. Just a preamble. Number one, God craved for man's fellowship. You must just not miss it. I was listening to one of my, I call favorite preacher yesterday, and he said something. He said, he has seen a mystery on planet Earth. He's seen those who went to school and those who didn't go to school. And he said sometimes, those who didn't go to school, they turn out well than those who went to school. He said those who didn't go to school, they don't have anything that they depend on. He said when they become believers, they depend absolutely on God. They don't question his word. They don't put his word in logic. He said, but those of us who went to school, he said, through much knowledge, we question the validity of God. So he was proving a point that in the real sense, there is nothing called atheist. Because the atheist is afraid of something that may be in existence, which he refuses to acknowledge. But he said, just like the Bible says, too much knowledge sometimes brings weariness to the flesh. So when God created man, number one thing that you must please take note of, and he hasn't changed that equation. That's why the Bible says it's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God craves man's fellowship. Even when Adam missed it, God still came. And you know, it was Adam who says, God called out. God knew what happened. But he still craved for his fellowship. He said, where are you? He said, and you know, Adam's response was very, very, it's the same thing in our world today. People just bring up argument once you mention the subject of God. He said, I was naked. He said, I heard your voice, but I was naked. And God's response is again to him. He said, who told you that you were naked? So, but hey, it doesn't erase that bottom desire of God. And that's why he would not want anyone to perish, but for all to come to the saving knowledge of his repentance. So number one, he craves man's fellowship. Number two, God and man had this fellowship from the very beginning. So it wasn't something that was introduced in the centuries as we know it. From the very beginning, when God created man, he said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness. So God's desire is that we should have a thriving fellowship with him. But like you know, man lost that fellowship. But still, his ultimate desire, because the moment man lost that fellowship, before he even lost it, he made provision. Genesis 3:15, about the seed of the woman. He said, what? You have lost it for this season, but hey, he sent his son to redeem man back into that fellowship. Can I have an amen tonight? You see, when we all understand, it's just like all the people here who are civil engineers, who are architects, once you can do the German floor and the foundation very well, you are good to go with the length or the height of your building. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. Have you seen some houses in Lagos like that? So it's because of the foundation. Have you seen houses that crack? It's not that crack, it's the foundation. So whatever goes wrong with the foundation, it has gone wrong. So this basic thing, we are created for fellowship. Let no man deceive you. A business may be struggling. If you have a thriving fellowship with God, he can speak restoration into your heart. And line upon line, as you walk upon this, you see that business coming back to life. That's the way it is. So God creates man for fellowship. God and man had fellowship from the beginning. Man lost that fellowship. God sent his son to redeem him back into fellowship. And then man has been restored back. That man. So whether somebody is going to get born again tonight, he's just going to get born again into that restored fellowship. So when someone says, I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I admit or I accept the sacrifice on the cross, the Holy Spirit, and like Jesus said, he said, myself, he said, behold, not Jesus now, in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If any man hear and then open the door, he said, I will come and sup. The word sup means fellowship. It means koinonia. It means communion. And that's the way man is. We are created. And that's why if you see literally in the world, it will surprise you. Man is designed to crave for the supernatural. Some people with, what are they looking for? Supernatural. Some people were born, in fact, I used to watch certain things on certain Discovery Channel, and some people will even walk on fire. They're looking for the man, and then everybody will stay and be looking at it. Some people will call what they call Leviathan. They sit and they levitate and they can go up like that. That's how the spirit of man is designed to crave for the supernatural. So what is his purpose? God doesn't hide himself from us. What is his purpose? Number one, man should be born again. That's what reserved it for all of us. We must come into that restored fellowship so that we can know that life with God is a communion, it's a conversation, it's a koinonia. I don't know how to put this to you, please. God didn't create any of us to struggle. And you know, we use that spiritual language. I'm struggling, but I've not been hearing it anyway. But in some plans, they say, God has instructed me, but I'm struggling with him. No, it's not necessary. God will never mismanage our life. God will never give you an instruction that you cannot obey. Let it be settled in our hearts. So The man should be born again into his family. That is the beginning of that fellowship. So when we are born again, what he does as a seal until the day of our redemption is to give us his Holy Spirit. So that helps us in this fellowship. That's helps us in this journey. So man should be born again. Secondly, man should be filled with God's Spirit. Man should be filled with God's Spirit. Man should exercise God's nature. So being filled with the Spirit is not just talking about tongues. It's being filled with the nature of God. And then you are expressing that nature. You know what it takes to be filled in the Spirit? Seven things there. Maybe in the course of this teaching, I will come back to it. It means when you are filled with the Spirit, you know, in Acts 1:8, it says you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. In other words, a witness is someone who has a first-hand experience. When we say God is real, it means when we look at us, look at you, look at me as a witness, we can see that evidence that is real. So to be filled means you have access to God's help. Seven things there. Help. 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 A lot of the time, we all get into the trouble. We want to figure things out with our head. There is no problem with it. But you may come to the end of yourself very soon. But when we secure his help, it's made available. To be filled with the Spirit means revelation. You come into who this God is. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us that insight. To be filled with the Spirit means you have access to his wisdom. The wisdom of God. And I know you know that we all need that in our decision-making process. To be filled with the Spirit means we are bearing fruits. That's the fourth thing. Fruit. In Galatians 5:22, he said the evidence that the Holy Spirit is living in us are the following fruits. So wherever the Holy Spirit is, there is love. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, there is joy. Wherever the Holy Spirit resides, there is peace. So, you know what I said earlier on? I mean, we will put everything. Tonight is just an introduction. So when you see that life is full of decision, one of the things that comes, a lot of the time, people are looking for the spectacular. But one of the things that comes when God is leading you is peace. So sometimes you hear express instructions, sometimes you don't hear, but you have an assurance as you continue along that path. You have an assurance that God is with you. Can I have an amen tonight? Amen. So fruit. You can't be a Christian and not bear fruit. If he abides in you and his word is abiding in you, then you will bear fruit and your fruit will abide. There will be evidence. Then the fifth thing is purity. Purity. If you are filled with the Spirit, you will be consistently challenged to live a life that is pleasing to Him. Some of us, maybe not everybody, but a lot, percentage of us in this room are married. I haven't seen anyone who deliberately want to hurt their spouse. It doesn't happen. People, you do things to help, to build up, to spice up your relationship. It's the same thing. When we understand this relationship that we have with God, we will do things to please Him. Can I have an amen? I can't do things on my own. He said, what does Paul wrote? He said, the love of Christ constrains us. It constrains us. So, when we are filled with the Spirit, it is life with a balance. It is a life with a boundary. Boundaries in the love and the faith of God. Amen. The sixth thing, if you are filled with the Spirit, is power. 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 He said, God has spoken once. Twice have I heard that power belongs to God. He said, you shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. He said, behold, I give unto you power over scorpion, over serpent, over all the power of the enemies, and nothing shall by enemies hurt you. So when we are, these are things we need to be aware of, such that it makes our fellowship with God a thriving one. Christianity is not boring. It's because we don't have the understanding of the total package. And what has been sold to us is that just get born again and go to heaven. It's much more than that. This life, you must live it here. You must. You must. And it's the life that we will live after now. After the new heaven and earth, no more sickness, no more death. That is the intention of God for man. Man is a created being designed to live forever. We are in the same class of God. Animals come temporarily, they die. But we are created and we have the capacity to live forever. So when we are filled with the Spirit, the seventh thing is that we become aware of His presence. So seven things that we must see in our lives, or we must pray for, we must long for, we must see the reality. One, when we are filled with the Spirit, help of God is made available. When we are filled with the Spirit, we have a revelation of who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is. When we are filled with the Spirit, we are endowed with the wisdom of God. When we are filled with the Spirit, we bear fruits. We bear fruits. There is evidence. When we are filled with the Spirit, there is purity. Because in one of the things, you find out that the Holy Spirit, a type of fire, what does fire do? It purifies. If you have a raw gold in this room, except you are conversant, you can even trample over it. But those who recognize this, there is a principle of recognition. When that thing passes, it doesn't pass through ordinary fire. Highest temperature, but beauty comes out of that fire. The same thing for diamond. But if you see diamond, I think it's as black as this floor. But when it goes through, the shining comes forth. So when someone is a believer in fellowship with God, there is purity. This world is contaminated. There are things that bombard our mind. And that's why we need to wash ourselves. It's a washing of the water by the word. The word purifies us. The word helps us. Like I said, it's not a battle between good and evil. It's a battle between good and good. It's very easy. Anyone knows that killing another person is bad. Everybody should know that. Everybody in a sane society should know that. If somebody kills, it must be that the person is under an influence. Nobody robs without being under a drug. Nobody kidnaps other people without being under a drug. There must be an outside influence. Can I have an amen? So, help, revelation, wisdom, fruits, purity, power, and then presence. Everywhere we go, if we understand this, if we have become aware that the presence of the Lord is with us, the manifest presence. You know that we are in this room now, the manifest presence of the Lord is here, because He's here to confirm. He said, we are two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them. But if you are not aware, you can be on the Instagram while I'm talking now. And it doesn't mean that God is not changing life around you. You can be sending message on WhatsApp. Even though the presence is there. The same thing goes during praise, during worship. The manifest presence. The devil is not here in this room. It doesn't have the power to be here. Because it will be contravening the word of God. He said, we are two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So no demon has any power to be here. That's why in some services, I wonder, people will spend about 10 minutes first binding the devil and all that before they start the service. We need to come to a place of understanding. He said, when you gather, that's another scripture. He said, someone has a song, someone has a hymn. He said, but let everything be done decently and in order. No doubt, oh, only Lord draws any fence or on the road. And for those who don't know their right, that's what happened. But once you understand it, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit, the manifest presence of God. So it helps when I have to make a decision to do a presentation in the office. The Bible says, it's somewhere in Proverbs, and that's why we need to get acquainted with God. He said, when I speak, he said, the elders, their tongue stops to their root, the root of their mouth. Nobody will have anything. He said, I have given you a mouth and the wisdom which the adversary cannot grant. If you are aware of that manifest presence, it goes with you everywhere. And what you do need to do when you need to pray, when your heart skips, say, Lord, I need your help here. Can you see? Holy Spirit, thank you for inspiring me today. Thank you for this presentation. It goes. Thank you for referral. Thank you for everyone on this. He said, when my way pleases you, you make my enemies. So if you have to defend anything, you make my enemies to be at peace with me. You make such declaration as a God who is walking upon. I am in this negotiation. This is how I want it to be. So you make the decree. And God backs it up. But like I said, you may be in church in the midst of other people and somebody next to you is receiving and you are busy doing something else. Is God there? God is there. But maybe not everybody is aware. Praise God. I said, praise God. Wow. Still touching. It's an everlasting message. So, God's purpose for man, number one, for us to come into this greater thing, man must be born again into his family. Secondly, man should be filled with the Spirit. So it's beyond tongues. And when you are filled with the Spirit, help. You have access to his help. You have access to his revelation. His wisdom is guiding you. You are bearing fruit. I don't believe in Christianity without fruit. If the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, brother, sister, everyone must go to work, including myself. It must produce in our lives. It must affect our character. It must affect our intelligence if you are a student. It does. The Holy Spirit, when it's there, it turns dullards into wise men. So it must produce fruits. I don't believe in all those Christianity that say, my Christianity is inside me, but let it produce fruit. That's the only way evangelism can be effective. We can't be nasty people. That's not the nature of God. We can't kill everybody on the surface heart. We become hermits. The love of God. I get into some things later on. How it must affect. You see, when you say you can't forgive and forget, it means the kind of forgiveness you are practicing is the kind that they are practicing at shrine. But if it's the kind of, and that's why you need the help of God to forgive. If the kind of help of forgive and forget is the nature of God, because when he saved you, he forgives and he forgets all your sins. Brother, is that true? Yeah. If he will mark iniquity, nobody else in this room will be saved. Did you remember some of the things you have done today? That he has nudged your heart and say, no, it's not right. And you say, if you are like me, say, sir, we are sorry. Number three, God's purpose for man. Man should constantly radiate his life and grow up spiritually. Man should constantly radiate the life of God. I think some of the things that are happening in our physical world today should tell us. If you talk about iCloud, it means there is a place where everybody store up their information and they can retrieve it. If you talk about what is called hub or server, it's the same principle. So God is that. I don't know whether you want to call him high cloud or whatever, but I think he's greater than that because he gave man the ability to put those things together. So God is much more than we can ask or think. That's what I'm saying literally. So, but man should constantly radiate his life and then grow up spiritually. Spiritually. If Tomini is still carrying pamper, we should be concerned. And how old is she? 5. So if at 5 she's not carrying around pampers, we should be concerned. Some of us are still 40 and we are still in spiritual nurseries. So man should constantly, we should come into maturity. We should take responsibility of our God nature. And you know what the Bible says in Ephesians 4:15? It said that we may grow up into him. So it's very critical. Please understand, we are in the kingdom business, brothers, sisters. All of us should crave for these things. We should crave the supernatural above this natural life. We are gods. And then we can't afford to put our ladder of life on the wrong walls. No, we can't. We can't. We must be alive to God. Allow the Holy Spirit to do the work of salvation in our lives. When we talk about salvation, we're talking about a total package. Victory, deliverance, wealth, wholeness, peace of mind. So legally it is settled, but we must allow the Holy Spirit to do the vital work in our day-to-day walk with the Holy Spirit. We must. If the work of evangelism will be effective in our own generation, our sensitivity to God must impact our lives, nourish our lives, and then help us to impact other people and then nourish them. Babies can't give back to babies. So, as we walk through life, we must make and hone decisions to the degree of our fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Please understand, ultimately, the effect of the Holy Spirit of God upon our lives is to take all that God has given us, listen to me carefully, your gift, your experiences, your passion, your knowledge, and set them to work, bringing glory to Christ in the church and the world as a whole. I repeat myself. Ultimately, this investment of God in our lives, that man is created for fellowship, man should crave his fellowship, is to what one thing? To take all God has given you and I, our gifts, our experiences, our passions, our knowledge, and set them to work, bringing glory to Christ in the church and in the world. That's what Ephesians 3:10 says, that he might through the church please also listen to this. You really blessed me while I was putting it down. Apart from the Holy Spirit, our best yield, we yield nothing. But with the Holy Spirit, our little yields, we yield much. And it's the principle of John 15, verses 1 to 7. Without the Holy Spirit, what we consider as best yield is still little. But with him, even what we consider as little seed is still much.
Please, from tonight, let this mindset change. When people hear the phrase, the power of the Holy Spirit, what most people think of are miracles and intense emotions. Cheers are breaking. Everybody is just shout hallelujah 7 times. Hallelujah! And then people just go into frenzy. No, it's much more than that. Can that hallelujah translate for you to become an excellent employee? That hallelujah, can it translate that you top that class with your GPA? Can that hallelujah translate in you become the president of the student union government? That when you open your mouth to say something to the student body, people say, oh, this is what we have intended to do, but because you are here, that's the kind of life God has made us to live. Can you see how we have misused the Holy Spirit? Even from the pulpit, some people are upset, pastors, they curse. And they tell you with their calling, they are cursing you and you are finished. It's not necessary. It's a misuse of power. My wife was telling me something this morning about University College Teaching Hospital, Ibadan, UCH. They was trying to raise money for their alma mater. And then they were talking, the same way they left the hostels, while some of them were still in school, that's the same way it is. And so too much talk. Somebody just said, I'm giving $1 million. I don't know, but if we traced that person, he may have $1,100,000. But he has a nature of generosity. But when some people hear it, he gave $1 million, and said maybe he's coming back to Nigeria in 2027 to come and become a governor. Because that's the way our mind is tuned. He doesn't have to. So I told her, I said, he may not even have $10 million. He may not have $2 million. But he saw value. He saw the future. And he has to make a decision. So when we hear the phrase, let our mind change, power of the Holy Spirit, and then we preacher don't have matter. He said the Holy Ghost is here, so it should be the same thing you repeat inside boss on Monday on the job. If you are a carpenter, I shouldn't give you work to do. This is 4 legs, and your own chair is sitting on 2 legs, and you are speaking in tongues. That God should allow me not to see it. I will see it. Because I should do my job with excellence, because the Holy Spirit is the spirit of excellence. And when I'm doing that job, I should create value such that the person I'm doing it for, we take it. And then the person who come, thousands of you who come, can easily say, call this guy. He can deliver anywhere in the world. That is the spirit of God at work. We can, we've used prayer to just cover up things. If a believer will not walk, let him not eat. It's the principle of the world. So what is the Holy Spirit to us? John 14, 26. Let me just highlight that. Amplify Classic. Let me just touch on it. But hey, these are things we must become aware of.
And then we begin to live in the reality and begin to apply it to our daily experiences. You know, they said, somebody wrote, I read an article once, he said that what happens, that they said that religion is the opium of the people, is because they find out that when people come into church, they suspend their brain. Because if they don't suspend their brain, how will somebody give you grass and say that is the key to your breakthrough? Everybody should consume it, and people are eating it. Or somebody says, oh, this is where Pastor Ayo sat tonight. Anointing resides here. Go and walk. Go and walk. But let your mind be clear. So the Holy Spirit, am I saying that God can ask you to come and see? Maybe. But it's not a doctrine. That immediately we finish service, people are now fighting. No, there are some things we have accepted. So you see an elderly person. You see an elderly person. He's been around 80 years. He's done consistently what he's doing for 50 years. And you now put 5,000 naira in an envelope that you want double portion of his anointing. It doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. You can be inspired and you just want to honor that person with 5,000, but your mindset should not be you want to collect what he has done for 50 years consistently just for one night. It doesn't work that way. If that thing drops on you, it will kill you. Because why? The man has consistently built character for 50 years. And you are still struggling. That person is still struggling. Constructing table with chair with two legs. And you want something that somebody has gotten for 50 years. If you are God, will you do that for your child? Look at what he says, 1426. 1426, Amplified Classic. And you see, please, let's come into awareness of it. He's our comforter. I will just touch on it, read it. He's your helper. And if you don't mind, just copy out those words. Go and look at it as your regular dictionary. So it's not even Bible now. The regular dictionary. What does a comforter mean? I'm not sure who is preaching next week, Wednesday. So whoever is preaching, go home assignment. Find out what's that dictionary, the one that everybody accepts in the world. Oxford, what is comforter? What is counselor? Comforter in Yoruba, in Samala, Jaikwada, Olutunu. Olumoron, counselor. Olurolowo helper. Baba one service. What is intercessor? Olubayo Jiroro. Yeah. Oh. Okay. Advocate. Agbejoro. Strengthener. Standby. Just go and find out. Please, just find out tonight before you sleep. Find it out and copy it out. That's who the Holy Spirit that is on the inside of you, that is latent at the moment, if you have not been putting him to use, that's what he is to you. So it means, if you understand it, some of those prayers that we pray is not necessary. Olurolowo mi is already there. He's waiting for you to ask for that help. You know, some of us, we are so, especially those of us who live in this part of the world, I'm a machine bride police. So when you come to God, you say, Olowo Gbogboro, Olowo Na, Olikin. Don't break the process. No, don't break the process. So you think that You are contradicting yourself. He's not standing up on that road. So he has done all that he needs. We can't bribe him. You know, some of our sisters, well, brothers, they say, can you come? This is another bad day. If he doesn't give me husband, he said, I'll backslide. I said, front slide and side slide. Doesn't. And it's not, that husband is not the end of everything in your Christian experience. If he sees your disposition, you don't even have to beg him before he gives you. The Bible says he who finds a wife. So just make yourself findable. Make yourself a good thing. That's how we come. So, see, I have only 2 minutes more. I promised myself I wasn't going to, because I must not enter into something. Let me just conclude tonight. See, when you are aware of the Holy Spirit as your comforter, as your counselor, as your helper, as your intercessor, as your advocate, as your strengthener, and as your standby, you know what happens? It produces Christ-like character in you and me. But we must yield to him. We must. I could have bullied you, Lord. You can't be wiser than God. You can't be smarter than him. So what he does is that he produces Christ-like character. And if it's Christ-like character, it has an element of love. Major litmus test. Love, joy, peace. And Philippians said we can measure it. Is it true? Is it just? Is it lovely? Is it of good report? And he said, when you find those things in a person's life and he's growing, he said, against it, there is no law, no demon. Because if the demon wants to come, they are contravening the word. He said, the rod of the wicked cannot rest upon the lot of the righteous. He said, lest the righteous put his hand to iniquity. So God even himself will not allow that to happen. Because he sees you where you are. So the Holy Spirit power, when that is in operation, we are aware of it, is released in our lives. Usually this is what happens. It's released in our lives in quiet, unassuming way that sometimes you are not even aware of or feel. You know, a lot of people say, the Holy Spirit was in that service tonight. Even pastor was shaking like that. No. And what the Holy Spirit often do is to nod us with a gentle whisper. The way you talk to that person is no good. That person is greater than my image. Can you apologize? Say, no! How many of us have been through such trouble? Can I see your hand? All liars. We do deliverance service. I have. But do you know that when you obey that nudging, that whisper, and you say, Ramoses, I'm sorry, I didn't. He said, in fact, I wanted to say I'm sorry too. Last scripture tonight, 2 Corinthians 3:18. See, when we allow the Holy Spirit, when we are aware of his presence, when we are aware that he wants to impart into us the God nature, you know what he does? 2 Corinthians 3:18, he said, and all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continued, to behold in the word of God as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in an ever-increasing splendor. from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, who is what? See, this Christian life, when we allow that change, inside out change, that's what is called sanctification. So sanctification is not a doctrine. When you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and you allow Him to do that work, He said in Philippians 2:13, He said, God is the one who is at work in us, both to will and then to do. When you allow it, your testimony becomes Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not willpower. It's not resolutions. It's not even self-help program or therapy that people go through. It's not having a good or best intention. It's yielding to the Holy Spirit to do a complete work of transformation. And it is inside out. Every other thing that we do, self-help program, is outside Him. What causes transformation is the one that comes from inside. It's the pure work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. It's not produced by imitation, but by inhabitation. You can cut your hair like me. I can do Jericho, like Pastor Chris. It's not by imitation. It's what is on the inside of him. That's what he's living out. Let's pray for one another tonight. Just touch people around you. Let's just pray for one another. Let's pray for one another.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,